All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are getting an update from Orin Resources, traded on the TSX and the NYSE under the symbol AUG. I'm chatting with the executive chairman, Ivan Bebek. Now, Ivan, we're going to focus on this acquisition of East Main Resources. We've gotten a number of emails and questions and really just requests for an update to hear from your side of this acquisition. Now, there are some nuances within this acquisition of East Main. There's going to be a new company that will be formed, Fury Gold, which will be focused on the Canadian assets, which include Committee Bay and Homestake from Orin, and then also from East Main's asset Eau Claire and the Eleanor South joint venture in Quebec. Let's start off with this new company. This Fury Gold will be traded on the TSX and the NYSE, holding these Canadian assets. Give us a little bit more color on how this deal came together and the focus on these Canadian assets, please.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Corey. It's been a long time in the coming to split these companies, as I've said many times on your show. And you know, when we thought about this as a group, we wanted to do this intelligently, and to do it smart, you'd have to think about market timing, which I think we've got at a really good timing. You know, we've hit that one perfectly. I think the other part was, you know, in Peru as well, can we add more to each of these spincos as we spin them out? And we all know that Committee Bay and Homestake are seasonal assets. So for us, looking over at East Main, something we've looked at for some time, as many others have, we thought it would fit perfectly because you can drill it 12 months of the year. So it takes away the seasonality. It also gives a very strong base in value to protect the value of the company out the door. And it gets complemented by the really big blue sky that we have up at Committee Bay. So the balance of ounces in the ground, you know, we're looking at it as around 1 million ounces of 8 grams per ton. You know, the balance of those ounces plus the Homestake ounces where we just put a PEA out on, and the opportunity to go find, you know, another Amaruq or Meliadine up north, we thought was a perfect platform or combination of assets to come together into this rising gold market that just started. And then the most important factor, and this also was something we thought about in spinning out, was bringing in more personnel, specifically a CEO that had experience and on two of the three jurisdictions that we were going to work in, being Committee Bay in Nunavut, as well as Quebec. And Michael Timmins, you know, by very, very big coincidence, happened to come available right at the same time that the merging of all these entities has come together. For those of you who don't know Michael Timmins, we met him during the Agnico Eagle purchase of Kaden. We're super impressed by him back then. Obviously, that was a great success for our shareholders, and, you know, look forward one day, had he ever become available, to working with him to do something bigger and something different. And if you listen to Mike talk, and we've done a lot of it this week with a lot of marketing for Fury, he joined Agnico when they had one mine. And he was there for the acquisition and putting of 9 mines and putting them into production. So if you could look at a better company, I don't think you could find one that has delivered more value, you know, very share price minded the way Agnico has. And the fact that he's been there through the entire growth curve of that company is something we're going to leverage heavily off of in terms of his advice and leadership of how to take these forward. So that's Fury, how it came together. The ambitions are very clear. It's to build a major Canadian mining company, and that's a big statement, but we're starting on the right foot. And from that, you know, we're going to need a lot of currency. We're going to have to create a performing share price so that we can acquire more assets, be acquisitive, and also raise large amounts of capital to put these into production at various times in the coming years. And, you know, to drive that value, what we're going to do is we're going to start with a 50,000-meter drill program at the Eau Claire asset in East Main. And a lot of people view this as, you know, the lead asset, which it is by timing. But if we could drill East Main's Eau Claire asset, Committee Bay, and Homestake, we would drill all three at the same time. There's no favoritism here. It's more about accessibility. And then there is a lot of low-hanging fruit we see from what our work that we've done on it to expand their existing resource. So I think that will be a massive launch for the share price in terms of a catalyst 50,000 meters as we get ready for a lot of news and the new targeting at Committee Bay and Homestake, which we'll drill the next summer. But ultimately, we probably see about 100,000 meters get drilled between, you know, provided the deal closes, November of this year and the end of next year across these three projects, and predominantly looking for more gold, which will be substantial.
So, Ivan, when I first saw this news release, I was encouraged for Orange shareholders because of the fact that I followed East Main for a number of years, and I heard nothing but good things about their projects from a lot of the geology-focused people that I really respect. But the problem was management had a heck of a time moving these projects forward, getting noticed by the bigger market or some of the larger investors. Now that you guys are taking this ship over and utilizing these assets, you mentioned that you see some low-hanging fruit in terms of growing the overall resource base at the Homestake projects. What does that look like? Can you give us a little bit more information on some of the targets that you're looking at, where you see opportunities?
Yeah, you know what, I'm going to save that for after the vote, because don't want to reveal too much before we get there, and the guys are still working out putting it together. But from a high level, you know, I think it's not unknown that there's a lot of high grade gold here that could be a lot more based on the limits of the drilling that's happened. You know, I think my favorite part about this asset is it's largely underexplored, and we clearly see the potential to find more than that's there already. And to speak high level from that, and we will come out with some very specific targeting that will come out as we go drilling, you know, post the transaction. So, you know, I think the previous management teams did an excellent job, obviously, making the discovery. But I think they, you know, they got victimized by the bear market. We've all seen that hurt a lot of juniors. There's been some proxy battles in the past. And I think there's been a little bit of a lack of focus and systematic approaches that could have done more with what's there. And, you know, I wouldn't fault anybody except for availability of people and approach to the asset. We have a very, very strict, systematic approach led by, you know, our technical team that really takes, you know, thorough approaches and does things in a very specific manner. And I think that's going to daylight a lot of value that's been missed or not followed up on. And so, you know, a great start by others. And I think we can elevate it considerably, as you've mentioned, and more details on that to come later this year.
So what about the comments that are going around the internet that you guys stole this asset? You did make the comment that, you know, East Main has been up for sale for a while, but address that comment that Orn moved in here and stole this.
Yeah, you know, that was an interesting perception, and every deal has, you know, feedback on them. When something was for sale and there's an interim CEO, there's no mystery there, you know, and people knew it was for sale for a couple years, we bought it. We didn't steal it. You know, we came and we bid and we bought something that was for sale. And to clarify, we only bought 2/3 of it. You know, East Main shareholders get to continue on as a third shareholder in the new company. Plus, they get the upside of Committee Bay and to be part of a very capable, robust professional team that can not only drive their asset forward, but other ones in the portfolio. And, you know, something that I will say in terms of the perception that we stole it or got the better end of the deal. I mean, there's a huge premium. Their stock was trading at 10 cents, you know, when we approached them, or 11 cents. It's now at 30 cents. It's almost up 300%, you know, since we did the deal. I think that's a great premium. And it's a situation that, you know, we bought something that was available that was for sale. And I think that's the way it should be taken by everybody. In terms of the ratios and the way we did the deal, it is unconventional. It was difficult when you have mixed assets in Orin to try and determine where the real value is on everything. And, you know, that's the whole reason why we're splitting the company, so that we can get valued for each of our opportunities individually versus all together and have this kind of challenge. I will say this, though, in terms of the East Main share price and the arbitrage, and a lot of questions come up about this. Why isn't it trading at the 41 cents you valued at it, the deal at? And I would say deal digestion has certainly been something of consequence. But by the time the deal closes, I think, you know, and we have to do a financing in conjunction with the deal, which is in process. I think once that financing is done, you're going to see a pretty big re-rate on their share price. I also think the gap will close considerably closer to the consummation of their completion of the deal. So for me, it's a no-brainer that this thing is going to re-rate. I think everyone recognizes, as you said earlier, that it's a really good asset and there's a lot of room to do a lot more with it. we most certainly plan to be very aggressive in doing a lot more with it. And I think, you know, coming out as Fury Gold, if you can think forward of what this is going to be going forward, think about the 50,000 meters, think about the aggressive ambition to grow at a really good pace in a $2,000 plus gold market. And I think then the equation is quite simple. And so for anyone listening to this interview, I think, you know, there's huge opportunity there to be part of something that's going to be worth a lot more. And that gap closes closer to closing.
Well, one other thing to consider, and I got a lot of questions on this, are the spin-out companies that will hold your Peruvian assets. Before we get into some of the nuances or questions that came in, just give us a little summary of how these spin-outs are working and the whole theory behind keeping them unlisted for the time being.
So, you know, in terms of this transaction, it's complex and there's a lot of layers relative to tax and structuring of how this gets done. The recommendation to us by our counsel and whatnot was to leave the Peruvian entities unlisted for a period of time and continue with this, which Fury, which will take over the orange symbol. And so I'm not going to get into those really interesting details. I'm going to keep it high level. They won't be unlisted for a very long period of time. We are actually planning to file registration statements and also to continue to be reporting issuers. So once we determine to come back trading, it's a very seamless process. Does not take 6 months or something of the sort. You know, in the process of focusing, you know, there's a benefit of Peru being unlisted while we get drill permits and several other things that we're working on at both Sombrero and Curibaya. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. So we get to come out of the gate and really, really put a big shoulder behind Fury Gold Mines to make sure it launches and gets into the drill program with the momentum that we're looking to achieve while Peru gets to complete the drill permits. And so that's kind of a higher level rationale where what would be the point to be trading right away if there's no drill permits in hand, you know, on completion of the deal. And, you know, the second part of that equation was we want to add more, like we did with Canada, with East Main. We want to have a lot more value to talk about in both Sombrero Copper and Curibaya Silver, which will have a name change by the time Curibaya comes public. But Sombrero Copper will likely stay with Sombrero. And when I talk about more at Sombrero, we've been finding more targets during COVID. We've kind of been back at the drawing board. We've been getting a lot of leeway with a lot more access. You've all heard me talk about the community impact we've had that's been very positive. We got to be even more helpful during COVID when everything was shut down. We got to bring in supplies, not just food and stuff, but also medical supplies. So a reaction there and what people should expect is access to a lot more targets than the initial drill program we have suggested. We've also been creative to try and find ways to go and drill, you know, four or five of these massive targets versus the one we've talked about for some time. And, you know, there's a lot more that we haven't talked about in terms of new targets that are coming online that will all start to come out in the fall, late fall. And these ones will have, you know, some sampling that we've done. They'll have geophysics. There'll be a lot of work being done between now and then. So Sombrero is actually going to look a lot more appealing, you know, as we go. And the big milestone for us, obviously, is permits. We think the end by the end of this year is a very reasonable timeline. And so, you know, I think you're going into a January, February relisting kind of timeline. And I think that's relatively conservative, but it's relatively accurate of what we're planning at Sombrero. On Curibaya, you know, we have 2 square kilometers of some of the highest grade silver, you know, 2 to 18 kilo silver everywhere on these veins on surface. And, you know, we've been learning more about that since we kind of found that. And we just finished building our camp a few weeks ago. So exploration programs have started. The big reveal there will be the geophysics that they're doing right now over underneath those veins or over top of those veins to show us what might be underneath them. Are they coalescing together? Is there a nice multi-kilo, you know, areas of targeting silver over decent widths, right? But in Michael Henriksen's mind and Dave Smithson's mind, our two lead geologists that, you know, drive everything to us forward technically, they wanted more for Curibaya on its own, just in case. It's a tough one to drill and deliver on. Spectacular start. We are very confident about it. And so they've been looking hard, and they're coming up with some amazing acquisitions that will go into Curibaya on the precious metal side, gold and silver targets. And so we're looking very, very forward to how Curibaya comes together And again, same timeline. We think permits by year end. And then in Q1 next year, early Q1 would probably be the suggested listing time, January, February, around the same time as Sombrero. But both of those companies, you know, they got a valuation of about 46 million US, and a lot of people have argued with themselves on that valuation, including ourselves. But due to COVID and you know, not having permits and not having additional access to communities, I think it would be fair to say it was treated more as a holding entity, with the big unlock of value being permits. And then the additional unlock will be, you know, new assets that get added to Curibaya and the new targets that are going to come out that should be drillable in the first year of drilling.
All right. So Ivan, a couple key points here. One, the main one being that current shareholders of Auren Resources will get a share in both of the spin-out companies. One question, though, that I just want you to reiterate, because it came in a couple times, is that the shares are going to be listed when you start drilling. It sounds like this whole time frame is not going to be you guys drilling without the shares being tradable. That was a key point that people wanted clarification on.
Yeah, absolutely. And good comment about the structure. So in this transaction, Auren shareholders will get 0.7 Fury gold mines, and they will get one full share for Sombrero and one full share for Curibaya Silver. And to the question that you've asked about, will we drill while we're private? Absolutely not. You know, I think there's a lot of people that have learned about the Peruvian projects and are most certainly going to learn about them when we have a lot of advancements in terms of news of these milestones I spoke of by year end. And we would like at least a month or 3 to 4 weeks between when we come listing and when we turn the drill to give everyone a chance to reposition themselves so they could have a chance to buy shares before we go do the drilling, right? So you can rest assured it'll be at least a month of trading before we turn drills will be the target from us coming back.
Okay. You've been making a lot of other comments about other acquisitions. Should we expect to see some more significant acquisitions coming relatively soon?
I think on the Curibaya side, it would be option agreements, not acquiring other companies. And then in the Canadian side, you know, once we get the deal consummated, you know, when currency presents itself, if we have some success drilling and, you know, we start to see a very meaningful share price performance, we do have some other ideas in mind. And there's many, many things being brought to us as suggestions. But again, the aggressive ambition is to grow intelligently and things that fit our mold of what we're looking for. And, you know, by portfolio in Canada, all of the deposits, including, you know, the one at Committee Bay, they're all 8-gram deposits. You know, and we're looking at high profit margin, highly profitable ounces, you know, and not Committee Bay, but the other two low capexes, right? And that's going to give us a very good premium as we take these towards development. So if we can keep finding high-grade Canadian gold projects of consequence, like we have right now, and keep adding that, we think we'd build a fairly substantial re-rate in the valuation of that company going forward. And high-grade is truly king and Canadian focus. So that's what I'm referring to in some of the acquisitions on either end of Peru or Canada.
Okay. Ivan, wrap us up. What do you want investors taking away from this deal, the new company that is going to be called Fury Gold, and then also these spin cos that current shareholders of Auren Resources will hold shares in all of these?
I would say, you know, first of all, what we've presented for shareholders, you know, and the ones who've waited and supported us for the last 4.5, 5 years at Auren, you know, we had a bigger vision to at one point do this as we found more assets that could be standalone. And so, you know, as a reward to being so supportive, the SpinCo at the eve of the bull market is the first step. This is early times on each of these companies because nothing's been drilled yet in Peru. And we are just about to start a new Canadian mining company that could become a major. You have until October 4th, call it the end of September, to get shares in all three by investing into Auren. You know, there's a very obvious arbitrage on the value of the East Main share price right now. And, you know, I think I want everybody to imagine, you know, the one problem we're facing is we don't know which is going to be the best performing entity out of all three. And to be able to say that is such a luxury when you're looking at the caliber of what we're doing in Canada, as well as Sombrero and what might come out of Curibaya. We're hoping that all three of these things can deliver that double-digit share price, you know, in a rising bull market with big discoveries and a lot of growth. And that's what we're going to work very hard to try and achieve. So Thank you, everyone, for all your support, and look forward to the fun part. It's finally started, and pretty soon we'll be drilling in Canada and followed by drilling in Peru all of next year.
All right, Ivan, appreciate the update. Thank you for wrapping up this first hour. Again, everybody, keep on sending me your questions for Oren Resources or any of the other companies that I brought on through this week. But I appreciate all those emails that I get throughout the week. I also appreciate everybody joining us over the weekend, taking some time and listening to this weekend show. Keep on checking the website throughout the week. Ivan, thanks for your time this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you, you as well.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.